I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, a little bit more, including, in the second portion of the show, dobro player Jerry Douglas, who, as I have come to discover, if you're into the guitar, is something of a god on that instrument. He's going to be, along with many other guitarists and bands, at the Elnora Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center this week. And I spoke with him a couple of weeks ago. We'll air that interview in the later part of the show, and here are some selections from his playing. First part of the show, though, features a few local actors who are among quite a number of local actors who are going to participate in a fundraising event for Illinois Public Media's Book Mentor Project, which is called Words in the Wind. It's going to be at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign on Saturday evening at 7:30, and the idea is to bring to life various children's books in a concert-style performance with representatives of the Station Theater, Parkland College Theater, the University of Illinois Department of Theater, and other independent actors, with 22 pieces represented. We'll have a few of those on the show today, coming up in just a little bit on Live and Local. Those were a couple of selections from a disc of music by Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, a mouthful for you, for two guitars performed here by the Brazil guitar duo João Luiz and Douglas Laura, both of whom are appearing at the Elnora Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center, which opens tomorrow night, and they're going to be there on Friday, and they're also going to be on Live and Local Friday during the first part of the noon hour. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Also on tomorrow's show, we'll have another group that's performing tomorrow night, Frank Vignola Trio. Did I say they're going to be on Friday? Frank Vignola Trio on tomorrow's show and the Brazil Guitar Duo on Friday's show. And also looking ahead to tomorrow's show, Carlin Morenas of the music faculty at the Illinois State University will be here to talk about an upcoming faculty chamber music recital that a lot of their folks are involved in. But more first things first, on today's show, coming up, we have guitarist Jerry Douglas, who I had a conversation with a bit ago, and we'll have that interview and also some excerpts of his rather remarkable dobro playing. In this portion of the show, however, we have some guests with us who are involved in a fundraiser for Illinois Public Media's Book Mentor Project. The program is called Words in the Wind, and it features quite a number of area actors doing dramatic readings, and I'm not sure what all else, of various children's stories. And we'll hear some of them rather famous ones, like Wind in the Willows, The Three Little Pigs. Here's one. Is it Nuffle Bunny? Knuffle Bunny? How does one say that?
I think it's Nuffle Bunny.
Nuffle Bunny. And that's Tom Mitchell, who is Associate Head of the University of Illinois Theater Department. With us also is Gary Ambler of, where do you say Gary is of? He's of Champaign-Urbana. Most often performs at the Station Theater. Was with the Summer Studio Theater Company this past summer.
That's right.
As Maury in Tuesdays with Maury. He was wonderful in that.
Thank you.
Thank you both for coming on the show today. And we're hoping to have one other guest, but she is delinquent, so we'll see. We'll see if she makes her appearance or not, and we'll acknowledge her at that point. So thanks, Tom and Gary, for coming in. Tom, you want to give us an introduction to this to this program because I understand it was your brainchild.
Right. Well, there were a couple of thoughts behind this. One was to be able to support the Book Mentor Project and help to put books in the hands of children and families in the Champaign-Urbana area. But the other was a little more selfish, and that was to bring together some of the best performers, actors, and musicians in the Champaign-Urbana area to find an excuse for them to get together to do a performance of some sort. So those two thoughts came together, and the idea is to present children's books, those books, sometimes picture books, sometimes those short novels for children like Wind in the Willows and Peter Pan, in a concert-style presentation. So we get to hear the words from those stories that once adults grow out of the age where their children are being read to, you often lose touch with books and stories like these. So this is a chance to get back in touch with our inner child.
So what makes this a concert-style presentation as opposed to just a reading of stories?
You know, it's really set up in a concert kind of presentation where each individual actor will take the stage, perform the book that he or she has been working on. In some cases, they are in duets or trios where several voices are put to use on the same thing. But we're not trying to act out the stories with costumes and scenery, but really just present in a kind of recital fashion the stories themselves. Let the words do the magic.
And there will actually be some musical accompaniment to
some of them? In a number of these stories, we have musical accompaniment. We also have a few songs that are either related to the stories or also have been made into children's books as well.
And did you assemble all of the actors and performers?
Yeah, I called in favors with a lot of my friends.
This being a fundraiser, I assume that means everybody's doing this as a contribution.
And because it's fun, I think the chance to get in touch with these kinds of stories and books is a good time for most of them.
Should probably say a little bit about the Book Mentor Project, and I'm actually just reading from Illinois Public Media's release on this event. The Book Mentor Project is in cooperation with Champaign County Head Start, the Champaign Early Childhood Center, and local service organizations, and it provides books to families who otherwise might not have access to books at home. As part of the program, Molly Delaney of Illinois Public Media, she's Educational Outreach Director, trains parents, teachers, and volunteers on how to interact with children through books, how to use television as a teaching tool, and how to use books and related activities to enhance learning. It started in 2003 and assisted 54 families at that point, and it currently serves 578 families in Champaign County, trains 60 teachers and 50 volunteers each year, works with 42 classrooms in 8 locations, and distributes more than, 3,500 books to low-income families. So that's a bit of a thumbnail sketch of the Book Mentor Project. Who are some of the performers besides yourself, Tom, and Gary Ambler, who's with us? And what theater programs do they represent in our community?
Well, from the Department of Theater at the University of Illinois, Brant Pope, who's the head of the department, and Henson Keyes, head of the acting area, are both performing. Robert Ramirez, who's a new faculty member there who teaches acting and voice and actually is a professional audio book recorder, is going to be performing. We have a couple of students from the program who will be joining us that audiences may recognize from productions at the Krannert Center. And then from Parkland College, Dallas Street is performing, and Seamus Riley. And from the Station Theater, besides Gary, Barb Evans, Kay Hawley, David Butler, Joy Hofsummer, and I'm probably leaving some out.
You've assembled sort of an all-star cast.
Right, and Christine Sevick Johnson, who's performed around town, Angela Markham, who's done performances with the CUTC, will be with us. So, yes, it's a group of about 22 or so performers.
That's terrific. And you brought along a couple of samples.
Yes.
To tease people with. Which of you wants to start?
I think we'll start with Gary, shall I?
This is Gary Ambler, and we are talking here on Live and Local about Illinois Public Media's Book Mentor Project, and specifically this concert on Saturday night called Words in the Wind, featuring quite a number of actors in the area. It's going to be at Faith United Methodist Church on South Prospect in Champaign, 7:30 Saturday night. What have you got for us, Gary?
I have an excerpt from a little story called How I Learned Geography.
And is this a story that you knew
before? No, I was completely unaware of it, and it's quite a lovely little piece.
Okay.
When war devastated the land, buildings crumbled to dust. Everything we had was lost, and we fled empty-handed. We traveled far, far east to another country, where summers were hot and winters were cold, to a city of houses made of clay, straw, and camel dung, surrounded by dusty steps burned by the sun. Father went to the bazaar to buy bread. As evening approached, he hadn't returned. Mother and I were worried and hungry. It was nearly dark when he came home. He carried a long roll of paper under his arm. "I bought a map," he announced triumphantly. "Where is the bread?" Mother asked. "I bought a map," he said again. Mother and I said nothing. "I had enough money to buy only a tiny piece of bread, and we would still be hungry," he explained apologetically. "No supper tonight," Mother said bitterly. "We'll have the map instead." I was furious. I didn't think I would ever forgive him, and I went to bed hungry while the couple we lived with ate their meager supper. The husband was a writer. He wrote in silence, but how loudly he chewed. He chewed a small crust of bread with such enthusiasm as if it were the most delicious morsel in the world. I envied him his bread, and I wished I were the one chewing it. I covered my head with my blanket so I would not hear him smacking his lips with such noisy delight. The next day, Father hung the map. It took up an entire wall. Our cheerless room was flooded with color. I became fascinated by the map and spent long hours looking at it, studying its every detail, and many days drawing it on any scrap of paper that chanced my way. I found strange-sounding names on the map and savored their exotic sounds, making a little rhyme out of them. Fukuoka Takaoka Omsk, Fukuyama Nagayama Tomsk, Okazaki Miyazaki Pinsk, Pennsylvania Transylvania Minsk. I repeated this rhyme like a magic incantation and was transported far away without ever leaving our room. That's a little piece from that.
And the story again?
The story is called How I Learned Geography.
Why?
By the author's name is Uri Shulevitz.
Any idea where that person is from?
Actually, Gary,
I do have a little note here that I can read. In the author's note, Uri Shulevitz describes how he was born in Warsaw, Poland, in 1935. The Warsaw Blitz occurred in 1939 when he was four. He remembers streets caving in, buildings burning or crumbling to dust, and a bomb falling into the stairwell of the family's apartment building. Shortly thereafter, they fled Poland and for 6 years lived in the Soviet Union, most of the time in Central Asia in the city of Turkestan, in what is now Kazakhstan. They eventually arrived in Paris in 1947 and then moved to Israel in 49, and he came to the U.S. in 1959.
I was kind of curious because the story had a very different feel to it than your average children's story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And is it a fairly long one?
No, in fact, it's not much longer than
really,
what I've read.
So we almost got to the end. That really was teasing in that case. What is different about reading or interpreting a story like that as opposed to acting out a play? Because, Tom, you said you're not really attempting to act these stories.
I guess the main thing is that you've got several points of view. This story is fairly simple because it's told from the child's point of view, but it also it also has description that probably would not be part of his perception at the time that he lived it. So it does have sort of an overview. And then of course there's the aspect of just telling the story. You know, you're presenting it forward without having to have the sort of ego of a character involved with it.
You know, I think also we have a concept of performance for children that is bigger and louder and brighter than normal, the normal behavior often. But what we're looking for in these stories is a more straightforward telling of the story and letting the language of the story create the image and do the work instead of all the extra. Gary and I just came from performing at the Champaign Public Library for children probably 3 years old and younger. Mm-hmm. And they like some of the louder and energetic, more energetic. But this performance is geared for adults as well as children. So we don't have the colorful costumes and funny voices quite so much.
Well, you know, I've for the last, I don't know how many years now, been one of the what they call celebrity readers, which I think is a hilarious term. At I'm actually now forgetting what is the event. It's Lincoln Square every year.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big reading day, and Lincoln Square in Urbana just fills up with kids. And WINL always has a platform there, and various people come in and read stories. And I'm never really sure how over the top to try to be. I look out there and I can't always tell, you know, are the kids reacting? Are they enjoying? Sometimes they'll squeal. Sometimes they'll do absolutely nothing. And then, you know, probably they get home and they tell their parents, oh, that was just wonderful or something like that. Mm-hmm. And how much are you going to play to the audience depending upon what your audience turns out to be? What if it's full of three-year-olds on Saturday?
I think there will be a little bending the performance to suit that audience.
And pictures?
No.
No projections?
No. Actually, that was one thing that I did want to do. The story that Gary just read does come from a picture book. And the pictures are wonderful. And you know, these books are written so that a parent might sit with a child and read them and look at the pictures together. And that's certainly one way to use the books. But in this performance, we're exploring the stories in a different way. In some cases, I think the audiences may recall pictures from some of these well-known books. In other cases, they'll create the pictures for themselves.
Well, and as you described, the bit I read earlier describes the book Mentor Project. It's as much for adults as for children, because it's trying to teach the adults how to work with the children. So there's that too. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. My guests for this portion of the show, Tom Mitchell of the University of Illinois Theater Department, Gary Ambler, recently retired from the university, not in the theater department, but also works very regularly with the Station Theater and elsewhere. They're with us to talk a bit about and give a couple of samples from an upcoming spoken word concert on Saturday evening in Champaign. It's called Words in the Wind. Our programs today on FM 90.9 are made possible with support from the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, opening its 50th season with the return of Symphony at Sunset, an evening with the Symphony Under the Stars on Saturday, September 19th at 7 o'clock p.m. at Dodds Park in Champaign. More information is available at 351-9139. Coming up on the show, guitarist, dobro player, Jerry Douglas. Tom, what's your selection? What did you bring along?
Well, I think the next thing that we'll do is Gary and I will alternate just a little bit. There's a wonderful book that I found when my children were young called Alpha Beta Chowder. That's an alphabet book made of poems for each letter. And it's very playful with its use of language. So we are going to select from the letters R through W today. And we will alternate in those. The letter R. A rancher roped a rustler and dragged him to his ranch. He hanged that ring-tailed rattler from a rotten redwood branch. The branch broke off abruptly.
The rascal raced away. That reptile, raged the rancher. I'll roast his rib someday.
A ship named Shirley struck a shoal. Her sailors sang a hymn. The Shirley split and down she sank. The seamen couldn't swim.
Toby's teasing can be tasteless, taunting, tweaking Tiny Tina. Tadpoles in her tapioca, thumbtacks in her semolina.
My uncle comes from Utah. Aunt Eunice comes from Mars. They met in Ursa Major, adrift among the stars. The universe is everywhere. The universe is deep. Aunt Eunice makes unearthly noise whenever she's asleep.
Vera's vanished overnight, leaving her valise behind her. Isn't Vera impolite? Or did evil fortune find her?
Whatever happened to your waist? The warthog's wife exclaimed. How weirdly wide you have become. Why aren't you ashamed? Ah, woe is me, the warthog wailed. My wardrobe doesn't fit. I've gained such wobbly wads of weight. My woolen pants are split. I waddle wildly when I walk, and weep to contemplate how winningly I used to waltz. My polka was first rate. The warthog wrung his heavy hooves. Dear wife, I'm mortified. I'll whittle down this wretched flesh. I give my word, he cried. I'll live on watercress and weeds till I am willow thin, and you and I shall waltz once more. Next Wednesday I begin.
It's funny how he obviously found a bit more inspiration from certain letters like that one.
Yeah, when you got a W, you got a
Didn't realize there were so many good W words. Maybe there's something about that W sound. What was the first letter?
The R.
Where he played with not just the beginning letter, but also sneaking an R in usually as the second letter in there. And that was, by
Jeannie Steig.
Jeannie Steig. Mm-hmm. And you said you used to read that to your kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How many kids have you got?
3 kids. And they're grown beyond most of these books.
Are they? Well, at what point, I mean, I guess it varies according to the kid and the parents and the books, but, you know, when do kids outgrow being read to?
Well, I was just talking to Molly Delaney at the library, and she says that 13 or so is studies show that up until the time a child is 13, they really benefit from being read to.
Really?
So longer than we might think.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that long because people, you know, they're certainly reading themselves by then. Why is it still valuable to be read to once you're reading, and particularly once you're reading well, I wonder?
I suppose, I mean, for one thing, you get another person's point of view when you listen to the book read, just that point of view that's filtered through the interpretation of the reading. That's part of what we are doing with this. And so a child hears things a little bit differently. They process, I'm sure, differently when they hear a story or a book read rather than reading it themselves.
And did you bring one more?
Oh, yes.
Is this a solo for a
Shall we do
Mr.
a little
Mitchell?
Green Eggs and Ham?
Oh, perhaps.
Oh,
that
you
might
have
be.
To do Green Eggs and Ham. What's a story concert without Dr. Seuss?
Right, that's right.
It would be woefully incomplete. Right.
Well, we've tried to put a couple of very familiar things. Dr. Seuss is in here. Gary is doing Goodnight Moon in the concert. And we have scenes from Wind in the Willows, Peter Pan, and The Once and Future King, which I think folks will recognize.
And I really am curious about this story called Nuffle Bunny.
Nuffle Bunny is the story of a little bunny who loses his blanket, I think, in the laundromat. It's nearly a tragic tale.
And what is the word nuffle?
Nuffle Bunny is the name that
just the name of the character. Mm-hmm. Oh, curious. Knuffle. Knuffle. In any event, it's live and local, and we're with Tom Mitchell and Gary Ambler on FM 90.9.
A little of Green Eggs and Ham by Dr. Seuss.
I am Sam. I am Sam. Sam I am.
That's Sam I am. That's Sam I am. I do not like that Sam I am.
Do you like green eggs and ham?
I do not like them, Sam I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Would you like them here or there?
I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am.
Would you like them in a house? Would you like them with a mouse?
I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am.
Would you eat them in a box? Would you eat them with a fox?
Not in a box, not with a fox, not in a house, not with a mouse. I would not eat them here or there. I would not eat them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am.
Could you in a car? Eat them, here they are.
I would not, could not in a car.
You may like them, you will see. You may like them in a tree.
I would not, could not in a tree. Not in a car, you let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am.
A train, a train, a train, a train. Would you on a train?
Not on a train, not in a tree, not in a car, Sam. Let me be. I would not, could not in a box. I could not, would not with a fox. I will not eat them with a mouse. I will not eat them in a house. I will not eat them here or there. I will not eat them anywhere. I do not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like them. Sam, I am.
And that was Gary Ambler as Sam and Tom Mitchell as the Nameless Grouch.
Right.
you never find out who that is. Tom and Gary among quite a number of actors presenting 22 pieces ranging from classic stories to more contemporary ones in a concert called Words in the Wind. It will be at Faith United Methodist Church on South Prospect Avenue in Champaign, Saturday night at 7:30. It's a fundraising event for Illinois Public Media's Book Mentor Project. And we visited with them here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us.
Good to be here.
Have a great concert.
Thanks.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Coming up very shortly, Dobro Virtuoso, Jerry Douglas. And that was Resonator guitarist Jerry Douglas performing here on Live and Local. Well, he was heard here on Live and Local. He's not in the studio with us. That would be a lot of fun. And I pulled that from a disc called The Best of the Sugar Hill Years. It actually originally came from his album called Look Out for Hope. I'm sorry, I don't have the additional performers on that track, but it was called The Wild Rumpus. Jerry Douglas, key member of Alison Krauss and Union Station, tours extensively, plays on her platinum albums since 1998, and when not on the road with Alison Krauss, Jerry Douglas touring with his band, and the Jerry Douglas Band will be part of the Elnora Guitar Festival. In fact, he's going to perform a free concert Friday at 5 o'clock at the Krannert Center in Urbana. The festival actually opens tomorrow night with the opening night party, including quite a number of performers on that concert, one of whom, or actually four of whom, will be on Live and Local tomorrow. first part of the show at 12 noon. The Frank Vignola Trio, who are actually a quartet for that particular engagement, will also have on the show tomorrow. Carlin Morenas, pianist from Illinois State University. She and quite a number of other faculty members at ISU are giving a chamber music recital coming up. We'll hear about that on tomorrow's show as well. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our programs today are made possible by Women's Health Practice and Dr. Suzanne Troopin, offering obstetrics, gynecology, and fertility services on Neal and Champaign. Women's Health Practice is a Health Alliance medical plan provider and is accepting new patients. More information is available at womenshealthpractice.com. Coming up towards the end of the show, I'll give a rundown of various performances you can participate in tonight and beyond, and if I have time, we'll give you some of the highlights of the Elnora Guitar Festival, or as the Krannert Center is calling it, Elnora the Guitar Festival. A couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to talk with Jerry Douglas by the telephone. We had about 12 minutes together, and started off, we just sort of chatted wherever things took us. I started off by asking him the first question that popped into my brain, which was why, when so many young people who in his day must have been, as they are now, choosing the guitar, would he end up choosing the resonator or the dobro guitar?
I did actually pick up the regular guitar first, and I was fascinated with the guy that played dobro guitar or resonator guitar with Flatt and Scruggs, who were the guys who did the music for Beverly Hillbillies and Bonnie and Clyde back in those days. That's what they were most popular for. But there was a guy named Josh Graves that played the dobro with them, and that was the sound that captivated me the most of all everything that I heard on records. And you know, as far as instruments that I wanted to learn how to play, that one nailed me right away. And it was hard. It was easier to listen to on the radio than it was to find one of the actual guitars where I lived, you know, northeastern Ohio. But we finally found one, and it seemed to come easy to me. That guitar did. I mean, I was 10 or 11 years old. You're sort of a sponge at that point anyway, because you pick up things pretty fast.
It's only been a relatively few years that I've even noticed the instrument myself, and the first time I thought it was just somebody who had a problem, couldn't hold the guitar right, because you sit at like a table in front of you. I'm curious technically about one thing. With your left hand, which is what you slide around, which is why I guess they're sometimes called a slide guitar, is that the same instrument?
Yeah, slide guitar. It can be played by, we call it bottleneck, sort of bottleneck guitar, sort of, because they played with the neck of a bottle over a finger, holding the guitar in a normal way.
And are you pressing down on the strings? It almost looks like you're so light on them, you're just sort of skating across the strings with your left hand.
Well, that's basically what I'm doing. I mean, you don't have to push them down to the neck because you have the fret in your hand, to stop the point of stop for the note you're holding in your left hand. You just you have to tune it up with your ear to make sure you're tuned. That's the hardest part of playing a slide guitar, is you can't just press the string down and it's going to be in tune wherever you press it down. It's you're holding the fret in your hand, so you have to have your ear, you have to be pretty good at putting that slide down at the right place.
Well, you've obviously gotten pretty good at that. How did you, what was your process, if you can even describe it, of getting from where you started to the incredible virtuosity you have in that instrument now?
Well, I think for me it was having access to other musicians, first of all, was, and my father did have a band, and none of the people in that band played dobro guitar, but They were good musicians, and they were patient with me, and they let me sit in with them, until eventually I did play in the band. But just having good musicians around and helped me a lot. And then after I got, fairly proficient with the instrument, then when I became a professional and got out on the road, I ran into some amazing musicians right away. And there's nothing like that kind of company that can push your career and your awareness of how to play the instrument, you know, push it along a lot faster. I was playing with Ricky Skaggs and Tony Rice and David Grisman and some amazing acoustic instrumentalists. And so my direction was molded probably by those people. And then, you know, there weren't that many dobro players to listen to, so I listened to other instruments. You know, I listened to other guitar players. I listened to Clapton. I listened to saxophone players, you know, all kinds of people, David Sanborn, and listened to, you know, Duane Allman, and all kinds of people like that, because there weren't really dobro players that were playing the instrument the way that I wanted, that I heard it could be played, and I kept at it until I finally could sort of play what I was hearing in my head, you know.
Well, and it does seem that your style of playing has acquired a lot of those different influences. I was reading the rather interesting biography that is on your website.
The Glenn Gould.
The Glenn Gould thing, yeah, and I happen to be one of the probably very few people who've actually seen that film.
Really?
32 Short Stories About Glenn Gould, I think that's the name of it.
Yeah,
how did, I'll just preempt the question I was going to ask. What, do you have a connection to Glenn Gould?
I don't really, but the writer of that bio sort of connected us. He was, you know, really into that film and saw some parallels, I suppose, you know.
And have you seen that film?
I have not seen the film.
So you're taking his word for it
I trust Dan Miniker, yeah. So he saw it, and I thought, you know, he's just a great writer, and if he can draw the parallels, then I'll believe they're there.
Well, he paints a picture of Glenn Gould as sort of sitting, absorbing all kinds of things, and then talks about you absorbing so many different styles, in particular regarding your newest album, Glide. Talks about jazz and, of course, bluegrass and classical music and the forms of that. Have you, aside from listening to other folks, have you gotten yourself involved in, say, jazz or any kind of classical at all? Or
I've played through Edgar Meyer, the great bass player. I've dipped my toe into the classical world a few times. Edgar and I played with St. Luke's Orchestra in Carnegie Hall, just the two of us, at one point a couple years ago. Just recently I played the Aspen Classical Music Festival with him just a couple weeks ago. So I have met Emmanuel Axe and, you know, a few people like that, you know, who we just kind of sat and marveled at each other, I suppose, you know, in our different musical worlds. But there are things we can do together, and you know, I think my particular guitar can adapt itself to classical music and not really make a Mozart fan that mad.
Well, we have a lot of Mozart fans that listen to our station who seem to enjoy lots of different kinds of things.
Well, people are really open-minded about music these days, more than ever, and for us to mix these forms seems to be more okay than it would have been 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you know. And they're not by any means melting together, but there are certain aspects that we can carry into other forms of music, you know. So that's sort of what's happening with all these musicians these days.
And what did you play with St. Luke's?
You know, it was a piece. It was a commissioned piece that Edgar had written. It was about Native American music, and Emmanuel Axe did one piece, and Edgar and I did one piece, and I can't remember who else did these pieces, but it was it's full blown, you know, read this, read these lines, wait.
So it's a
reading job.
So it was an even more interesting fusion.
Yeah, and I was a particular, I remember that I was a particular animal in the scheme of this, in the subject matter. It was about transformation of people to animals, you know, and so, and I was a hawk in this particular movement of the piece that he'd written. So I had to, you know, soar above and glide and all those kind of things. But all my parts were written as though I was in the air. You know, it sounds pretty crazy, but actually worked at the time.
Well, since you used the word glide to describe that there, how would you, for somebody who is new to your music, looks at glide as maybe an introduction? Is that a good introduction to Jerry Douglas, and or how would you describe
it
your music?
Yeah, it's all music that I've written, and you know, for the longest time I was a session musician and just played on different people's projects and, you know, records and all kinds of things every day. So it's really hard to figure out who exactly you are musically when you're working for somebody different every 4 hours or so, you know, and trying to reflect their interpretation of a song and make that all work together. But when I started writing for Glide, I sit down and I just sort of empty my head of all the little pieces of things that are floating around in there, of little phrases, little ideas, you know, little timing techniques, little things like that. When I started writing for Glide, it all gelled pretty fast, and it's a pretty smooth acoustic record with some, you know, it has its peaks and valleys, and I try to make records that have a shape, you know, that you want to listen from beginning to end to see where the whole journey takes you. So it's a nice body of work. It holds up well.
And this is with the full band that you're bringing to Urbana on the 11th of September.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's bass, drums, violin, guitar, and dobro, what I play.
You seem to have surrounded yourself with a bunch of other virtuosos too.
Amazing.
Listening to them.
Great. They've pushed me hard. Yeah. It's nice. You got to have that.
Jerry Douglas, a tune called Cave Bop, in which he's joined by saxophonist Jeff Coffin, bassist Victor Krause, and a drummer who I don't have the name of. That came off of his album called Lookout for Hope. Jerry Douglas Band going to be at the Guitar Festival, the Elnora Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center. A free program on Friday at Stage 5 in their lobby. That's at 5 o'clock. Actually, I'm looking in the wrong page here. Yeah, 5 o'clock in the lobby on Friday. The Guitar Festival opens tomorrow night with quite a bunch of players in their opening night party. Chicha Libre from Peru, a Peruvian-influenced group. Junior Brown, the Derek Trucks Band, and the Frank Vignola Trio, who will actually be on this program tomorrow at noon, along with an accordionist making them a quartet. And on Friday's show, we'll have the Brazil guitar duo. Also on tomorrow's show, Carlin Morenas from the Illinois State University music faculty talking about chamber music recital that the faculty are going to be giving very soon. Coming up, I've got weather forecast for you and news headlines at 101, and Julie Amacher in with more classical music starting at 106. Here are some of the items in our calendar. Dan Keating, a musician and storyteller, is performing at the Urbana Free Library tonight at 6:30. And then tomorrow, the Fabulous Flutes of the Prairie Ensemble and a couple of other performers performing at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute Music Series and Main Carl Clinic in Urbana on University Avenue. That's tomorrow at noon. Free concert. Unnecessary Farce is a play being given at Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 6, and a brunch time performance Sunday at noon. Ellen Koskoff is giving the Bruno and Wanda Nettle Distinguished Lecture in Musicology called Musical Bodies in Bali. That's Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock in Smith Music Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana, room 25, which is in the back of the basement of Smith Music Hall. Nice little lecture hall there. That's Friday at 4. The Springfield Ballet Company is presenting Rock Ballet at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield on Saturday. And Big Grove Zydeco performing at Alto Vineyards in Champaign, Saturday from 7:30 to 10:30. And as we mentioned earlier in the show, Words in the Wind at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. For more information, visit willkids.org. That project, a benefit for the Book Mentor Project sponsored by Illinois Public Media. That's Saturday night at 7:30. And here's a little bit of the rundown of some of what is happening at the Elnora Guitar Festival. Mentioned the opening party. Program for kids and others, Dan Zanes and Friends performing Friday at 12 noon in the lobby. That's a free program. The Brazil Guitar Duo will be performing Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, also free on stage 5. Jerry Douglas, we've mentioned. Some Indian music with Pandit Debashish Bhattacharya. He's actually performing a couple of times in the festival. Friday at 6:15 in the lobby. Free program. And then a program on, I think it's Saturday morning, called, if I can find it again, Morning and Evening Ragas, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Debashish Bhattacharya also giving a free program. For more information, check out the website for the Krannert Center, krannertcenter.com, and go to calendar or actually make plans. And at the bottom of that menu, you'll find Elnora, the Guitar Festival, and the full listing. Incredible number of free programs, also a number that require tickets. So you might want to get those earlier than later. Our programs today on FM 90.9 are made possible with support from Parkland Art Gallery at Parkland College, seeking to expand appreciation of various art forms, promote the development of artists' talent, and encourage aesthetic awareness. The gallery's exhibitions and educational programs are offered free of charge to the public. Forecast calls for intervals of clouds and sunshine this afternoon, a chance of passing showers or an isolated thunderstorm, the high 76. Tonight, a chance of a brief shower in the evening hours, otherwise partly cloudy with patchy fog forming after midnight, the low 58. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with just a slight chance of a passing shower late in the day, tomorrow's high 82. We're at 72 degrees. You're tuned to WILL, FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. We're the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we'll go out listening to Jerry Douglas.